Mini episode 949 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 949 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with another in our line of TV reviews. This is the latest in a series of reviews of critically acclaimed television shows that have completed their run and are available for streaming on either Hulu, Netflix, or Amazon Prime. We will not include spoilers in any of these reviews. The idea is to provide a sense of what you can expect if you decide to view the shows, and as such, we don't want to undermine that experience. Today we're breaking down Boss, a serialized drama that aired from 2011 to 2012 on Starz and can be found in its entirety on Amazon. Here are the five most notable elements of this franchise. Number 5. Playing off of the actual decades of control of Chicago by the original Mayor Richard Daley and his son, Boss is the story of Mayor Thomas Kane, played with hammy aplomb by the great Kelsey Grammer, son-in-law of previous Mayor Rutledge. Kane runs Chicago with an iron fist, displaying the ruthlessness that was characteristic especially of the original Mayor Daley. Originally an anonymous city official, he married the mayor's daughter Meredith, and their marriage reeks of a Clinton-esque power arrangement. But Kane is not a philanderer, just a sociopath with an unquenchable thirst for power. It's for that reason that he's estranged from his only child, daughter Emma, a drug counselor battling her own demons. The series dawns on the revelation that Kane has been diagnosed with dementia with Lewy bodies, a horrific degenerative neurological disorder. The primary physical symptoms are tremors, leading to complete physical deterioration, coupled with vivid hallucinations, which, in his case, often take the form of the many victims of his vicious two-decade reign atop the city. Interestingly, the series offers clues that one of those victims may have been Rutledge, who suffered a debilitating stroke and has been kept on medication that may have kept him stupefied and helpless. Kane's medical condition is a closely held secret, since he knows that he will lose control of the city when he loses control of his medical information. But while he's as brilliant and ruthless as ever, his increased paranoia and vulnerability to the hallucinations leads him to become ensnared in problems that cause his loyal aides to wonder what is plaguing the mayor. Through the two seasons, these issues include a scandal about municipal waste dumping causing disease in children, the sequel to a ruinous riot in the projects from 20 years before, multiple insurgencies on city council, potential city bankruptcy, investigations from the city's fastest rising journalist, Sam Miller, and the primary for the governor's race, in which Kane has shockingly thrown his weight behind State Treasurer Ben Zajac instead of Governor Mac Cullen. Kane's navigation of these and other challenges never fails to be completely riveting. Number 4. The series turns the notion of sympathy for a very ill person on its head. The turbo fuel for Kane's brilliance is his complete amorality, his ability to consider options that would be unthinkable to anyone with any kind of moral compass. As such, he retains his moral bottom feeder status with a number of pathetic maneuvers, deliberately causing the arrest of a close blood relative, pimping out his wife to keep an ally, and even orchestrating murder. The means by which he continually seeks to escape the walls that are closing in on him are those that many other series have routinely utilized to portray villains, but rarely are these characters the ostensible protagonist, and rarely are they also as grievously sick. The most obvious parallel would be that of Walter White on Breaking Bad, but that program showed Walt's devolution to the monster Heisenberg, whereas Kane is a lifelong cretin. Because of the vulnerability that Kane's disease visits upon him, there are many, many times that you have to fight not to feel sympathy for him, even as he is deliberately ruining the lives of so many people around him. And the show's creators throw even more chaos into the mix with the cinematography, a method of shooting the action that frequently channels the confusion and the disorder of Cain's psychological deterioration. While Cain's ruthlessness in the service of power resembles that of the main characters in both of TV's House of Cards franchises, the anarchy that surrounds him because of his disease creates a viewing experience all its own. Number 3, Stars Gonna Stars. When a series airs on this network, you can expect a certain amount of pulpiness in the sex and violence, and Boss delivers on both of the above. But both are used effectively, and actually less ostentatiously than another top series on Stars that we've reviewed, Magic City. Any series with the political world at its center is sure to spend some of its time focusing on the world of sex scandals, and for good reason. At any point in time throughout history, headlines can be found about the carnal foibles of the politically connected. So what you hope for with a series like this are fresh angles, new ground that we haven't seen before. Boss accomplishes this in its portrayal of the characters in Cain's orbit and how they satisfy their desires. In so doing, it keeps the flashier elements of the series from becoming obtrusive and detracting rather than adding to the story. Number 2. The worldview of the show is unremittingly bleak. If you're a cynic about the political process, Boss is only going to reinforce your worldview. It's the bizarro West Wing. With very few notable exceptions, most of Cain's enemies are themselves pretty evil. And even of the ones who aren't quite as bad, some of them are narcissists less interested in saving the city from Cain than the glory that goes along with getting his head on a silver platter. Boss isn't even punctuated very much by the black humor that occasionally lightened up Breaking Bad or either version of House of Cards. When you're watching this show, you're enveloped in the mire and the muck of the political bowels, and it's an intense ride. Number 1. While it's not for everyone, if you can handle the darkness, you'll be fascinated by the artistry of the storytelling. For many people, entertainment is purely an escape, and they don't want to watch anything that veers into depressing subject matter as constantly as Boss does. This isn't the program for those people, obviously, and that's fine, different strokes for different folks. However, if you're wired a little differently, and you're willing to delve into the disturbing in the service of great storytelling, then this is the show for you. You'll never be morally uplifted by this show, that's for certain, but if you want to get caught up in the excitement of a web of grimy plots constantly overlapping and carrying you forward with the force of powerful river rapids, Boss is the show for you. You'll find yourself constantly saying, "I can't believe he did that," when Cain unveils plot after reprehensible plot, and you'll be in similar disbelief about the narrative genius of the writers. When people criticize our dumbed-down modern society, they often say that we have the government that we truly deserve. This smart, serialized drama packs the same message, underscoring our ability to keep electing ruthless dictators like Cain, even as the show is still somewhat less depressing than reality, because when it comes to actual government, you can't escape the grip by hitting the stop button. Thank you for tuning into this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.